Dombrowski here, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC, and here we go. Let's get right into it, because today has been nothing short of epic. I will explain this, because while everyone in the media is crying and whining and in various ways ridiculing Trump's Saturday tweeting, I will tell you why I think it is absolutely nothing short of brilliant. You want me to tell you? I'll give you a hint. On Friday, what were we talking about? Well, we were talking about Sessions recusing himself. You know, I mean, because of what? We were back to the old narrative that Trump had hacked the election with the help of the Russians, had stolen it. That Trump and the Russians were colluding to create steal the presidency from poor Hillary Clinton. And all of a sudden, what are we talking about today? Now, the reason we are talking about it and the reason it's getting so much attention is not because it's incredible, but because it is credible. And I'm going to explain that to you as well. Now, the media is in full spin mode, as per usual. This is standard operating procedure. You and I, we know these people like the back of our hand, don't we? And so what they are doing, and they're reaching out to various ex-Obama officials, and they also like to dig up some Bush people, right, to give them some bipartisanship, collaboration and agreement among responsible members of former administrations. One of them that they dug up, of course, is James Clapper. Now, I want to frame it. I want to start here because this is kind of the standard narrative that we have been hearing today throughout the day. Well, starting on Saturday and Sunday, but really today in earnest from the media. And here, of course, is Chuck Todd, who is probably the leading apologist for anything Obama related. And he's on MSNBC. Very few people listen to MSNBC. But we happen to get this clip here. And this is Chuck Todd, and he is probing Clapper, who was the director, the DIA head for under Obama, and so he is getting probed here on, so to speak, on the question of wiretapping. It's not possible. Chuck Todd goes, no way, come on. You know, if there had been a wiretap requested by Obama or anyone in the Obama administration, would you have heard about it? Would you know that it happened? And asked basically, if something like this had happened, would you have been made aware of it? And this is Clapper's response. Listen carefully.
I would certainly hope so. I can say, obviously, I can't speak officially anymore, but I will say that for the part of the national security apparatus that I oversaw as DNI, there was no such wiretap activity mounted against the president-elect at the time, or as a candidate, or against his campaign. I can't speak for other Title III mm-hmm. authorized entities in the government or a state or local entity.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if the FBI, for instance, had a FISA court order of some sort for a surveillance, would that be information you would know or not know?
Yes.
You would be told this.
I would know that.
If there was a FISA court order
yes.
on something like this.
Something like this, absolutely.
And at this point, you can't confirm or deny whether that exists?
I can deny it.
There is no FISA court order?
Not to my knowledge.
Of anything at Trump Tower?
No.
Well, that's an important revelation.
That's an important revelation. You know, you could almost hear Chuck Todd, have an accident, okay? I mean, he was so excited, like, I got it! The only problem is when you listen, I mean, did you listen to how he's finally parsing his words? I mean, it's getting to be such a specific denial. And this, of course, by the way, let me point out something on this Clapper guy. You probably don't remember this, but Clapper was hauled in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee to answer some questions about What else? The NSA. And this was all before, oh, you know, that guy, you know, the spy, the guy that, oh, that's right. Yep, Snowden, right? Before his name became known to all of us, Senate brought Clapper in and asked him, hey, actually, I've got the question here. Here's what Senator Ron Wyden, Democrat from Oregon. So what I wanted to see is if you could give me a yes or no answer to the question. Does the NSA collect any type of data at all on millions or hundreds of millions of Americans? And Clapper responds, under oath, no, sir. So look, Clapper can lie under oath to a sitting senator, but he's definitely telling the truth on MSNBC to Chuck Todd. All right, bite me. So here is what now understand this. Now the press is having a field day out there and trying to dig up all sorts of opposition to this. And I'm going to explain exactly too what the allegations are, because people are just focusing on the Trump tweets, which are, you know, they tapped the phones at Trump Tower and whatever. But there are some actual specific allegations that are being made. And let me tell you just kind of briefly what those are, because it involves three steps. You remember, well, it all started with, right, the story that came out with this narrative about the election being hacked. And when this happened, you know, I remember my reaction to it. And I shared that reaction with you. I thought it was just a silly go-nowhere story. And now it's starting to make sense to me. The silly go-nowhere story was an important part of laying down some colorable argument for the Obama administration to get a warrant to tap people inside the campaign. I think it's absolutely plausible. And I'm going to tell you why. You know, all that stuff that always was getting leaked down, I mean, anywhere from, Sessions and then Mike Flynn and Paul Manafort, you know, we've seen news story after news story come out about these guys. And what do those news stories say? Well, I got one of them here, for example. There was January 19th in the New York Times, there was a headline, "Intercepted Russian Communications Part of Inquiry into Trump Associates." Okay. I mean, it's alarming, right? But it seems pretty straightforward. You're intercepting Russian communications. That's okay. We do that. We spy on our enemies. I mean, they're not allowed to spy on us, heaven forbid. But yeah, but we spy on them. And here is how the beginning of the article starts. I'm just going to read to you this first sentence, and you tell me what this means. Because this is plain English, folks. Quote, "American law enforcement and intelligence agencies are examining intercepted communications and financial transactions as part of a broad investigation into possible links between Russian officials and associates of President-elect Donald J. Trump." It was in the freaking New York Times. See, well, can you please tell me what intercepted communication is? Because to me, an intercepted communication sure smells a lot like a wiretap. I mean, it could be an email too, of course. But if the warrants can be fairly broad, and especially these FISA warrants. And I'll tell you a little more about how that works, because it ties into the allegations here that were made. Because the sources are saying that first what Obama tried to do, and I'm saying Obama now, Obama administration broadly, first they tried to get warrants and they went to a regular, what you're supposed to do normally if you're dealing with a U.S. citizen, you're supposed to go to where? To federal court. You go in front of a judge and you got to prove to the judge that you've got a reasonable suspicion, you've got a reasonable belief that there is criminal activity that you want, that you need and must uncover. So they went to the court and they said, "Hey, judge, you know, we think this candidate Trump guy over here, that he's colluding with the Russians, that he's, you know, that he's up to no good. His people are communicating with the Russians, whatever. And we would like a warrant to tap his phone lines and his associates' phone lines." And according to sources, the judge basically kicked them right out of the courtroom. No way, no how. He kicked the Obama's Department of Justice, whatever lawyer it was that was arguing for it, he booted them right out, said, no way, it's not going to happen. So then what happened is they went to the FISA court. Now, you've heard this term a lot today, so I'm going to tell you what it is. It's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. What happened is to fight terrorism, it was Bush, I think, in the Bush years this happened. They wanted to make a quick way of how to get easy warrants because they didn't want to get bogged down by, you know, the Constitution because it was getting in the way. So what they did is they set up the special court, and it's not really the same thing as a regular court. It's kind of more of a committee. The judges there meet in secret, and there's a very low standard set for the warrant, much lower than if you go to federal court. In exchange for this low requirement, low barrier of entry, these courts by U.S. code, they've narrowed the focus. So it's only to be used against basically, you know, terrorists, foreign combatants, imminent threats in times of war, that type of thing. In fact, somewhere in there, it says specifically, this is not to be used against U.S. citizens. But you're starting to put it together. The way this had to be with the Russians were there. Well, that was their in, because now they had foreign people. They had these foreign operatives. They had spies, putative, do bad people, right? That we're going to, that, you know, so, and in so doing, that they may have gone into the court and they may have said, you know, hey, we've got these Russians, we suspect that they're spying and that they're colluding with some people in the U.S. And when they went back to the FISA court, here's what's so important. They took Trump's name all out of it, removed it, just took anything having to do with, they just said U.S. persons. And this is what's critical, because if the interest was to specifically target contacts between the Trump campaign and suspected, you know, Russian spy masters, they didn't disclose that to the FISA court. Now, the people that did that, right up to potentially Obama, are facing huge criminal penalties. See, Trump's not 100% right in his tweets. And, you know, he's got it almost right. He says, well, you know, is it illegal that Obama tapped my line? Actually, it's not. You know, if you look at the law, Obama can tap his political adversary, but he has to have reasonable cause. He has to be able to legally obtain that warrant. And if in that process, anyone in the Obama Department of Justice misled the court and misled the FISA court, especially, and they granted him that warrant that then allowed them to tap the phone lines, which the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Politico, MSNBC, Fox News, CBS, everyone has been reporting how there's these intercepted communications on the basis of which, you know, we're drawing conclusions about what a bad dude Michael Flynn is. OK, this has been a news story. And this is, and so if that happened, there is an enormous problem here. And the Democrats realize it. Do not doubt me on this. There is fire behind the smoke. The Democrats know it, and they are throwing everything in the kitchen sink at stomping it out. They want to eradicate it because this scandal, if true, is bigger. I mean, it makes Richard Nixon look like a Girl Scout. OK. It's unbelievable. And by the way, you want to talk about how low the standards are of the FISA court? You know, they've since its inception, these FISA warrants, there have been over 35,000 applications for warrants. You want to guess how many of those were denied? How many were turned down? 35,000 requests. How many were turned down? 12. Can you believe that? 12. So you tell me, you think that's a pretty low standard? I'm telling you, as a lawyer, it's a very low standard. That tells me it's very easy. You've got, I mean, I'm no mathematician. 99.99% sure sounds like it to me. So this is going to be, this is going to hang around for a while. But the critical thing here is, and back to where I started this, Trump is brilliant because last week we were talking about what? The spying, the Russians, the hacking of the election. And today the spotlight is on Obama and his potential bad acts. Turned it around. Gotta love it. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
All right, Sam Rogowski here. So we're talking about these allegations that Obama and or the Obama administration went and perhaps obtained some search warrants, and tapped the phone lines at Trump Tower. Now, I'll tell you this. There's a great piece in where do I have this here? National Review. And it's filed today. Now, National Review, this is Andrew McCarthy, just to give you a little reminder here that the National Review dedicated an entire issue to taking a stand against Donald Trump in the primary. These guys, they might be conservative. They are no Trumpists. And the title of the piece is, "While You Weren't Looking, the Democrat Media Election Hacking Narrative Just Collapsed." And the point that McCarthy makes here, and he gets to it, is making exactly the point I made last segment. There's a quote in here. "How did the government obtain all this information that has been leaked to the media to prop up the story of Russian hacking?" Right? Because, again, in order to advance the narrative that the election was hacked and that Trump colluded with the Russians, what do you got to do? You got to get out there and you've got to disseminate some information. You got to throw out some pearls. And these pearls, by the way, aren't real pearls. They're more like chickpeas because they're I don't like chickpeas. That's why I give that as an example. For example, some nonsense about how senior officials have had communications have been intercepted. You know that quote I read from you last segment from the New York Times. It doesn't say what the information was. It doesn't say if anything in it was particularly damning. But when it comes to, for example, Michael Flynn, we know what was released. We found out what? That he had had a conversation with his counterpart in the Russian Federation, and that he had spoken to the Russian ambassador. And we found out some of the substance of the conversations that he had had. And it was the substance of the conversation that was not what he had told Vice President Pence, which ultimately led to his ouster. I'm just bringing all this up to tell you now things that have been obtained through a secret search, right? Through search warrants, right? Because how do you think we found that out? We knew that his phone was tapped. And if he had that phone call, by the way, while he was in his office in Trump Tower, then Trump's tweets here are 100% legitimate. And by the way, all you crazy, A-money-money Democrats that are running around, You guys have lost all credibility with me because you're running around today telling me that Trump is a lunatic. But you were running around last week telling me that you had all this. Look at all the information that's coming out of all the horrible bad acts that Trump's people are doing. All the intercepts. Brr. I mean, give me a freaking break. Do you even understand how stupid you sound? Probably not. Okay, but that's my job here to point it out. And that leads me, by the way, to one of the most important and really the most important points here is, every time you had one of these leaks of one of these intercepts, that is actually a very serious felony because it dates back the way that warrants are supposed to work is they're supposed to narrow down exactly the target of your search. And you've probably seen those movies where the cop is listening in the van and he's got his headset on and the gangster, you know, or the mafia guy starts talking about his girlfriend. And remember, at that point, they're supposed to turn it off. You know, they're supposed to turn off because it's very limited in scope. The purpose of a warrant is it's limited in scope and it's confidential unless a case is brought. And by leaking all this stuff out, these people that have done it, not only have they tapped Trump's phone lines, but they're leaking everything out like a sieve. And they're committing some very serious felonies in the process. All right. We have John Wolfe up with the news. That guy does not leak at all. I have it on good authority. So John Wolfe, take it away, and we will be back in just a few minutes. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Welcome back. You're listening to Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And I want to share, I'm going to take a little pause from this stuff about the wiretaps, the Trump taps. I think we just shorten it. Trump taps. Man, I got to tell you a little funny incident that happened to me. I did the show here not from here. I was up in Utah. I was up in Deer Valley, staying at the Montage Hotel. And so I did the show. I went to bed that night. I woke up in the morning, and I'm coming down the elevator. And the elevator, I hit the lobby, right? Door opens, and there's my sister-in-law is talking to Jason Chaffetz, the congressman from Utah, who, by the way, right now is all over. In fact, we've got some clips from him in a bit, all over this, all over the news right now. Very active conservative congressman, and as I, you know, so I, whatever we talked, and you probably know my brother-in-law is a elected official in Utah, highest ranking, I think, highest elected Democrat in the state. And yes, we have very spirited conversations, as you might imagine. And anyway, so we're talking, and then I leave, and then suddenly I become kind of aware that there are a ton of congressmen at the hotel. And then I'm on the ski lift a little bit later. Remember how I told you that you know, funny conversations come up? So I'm with my son, I'm on the ski lift. And I had a man and his wife join us, and we play the game, where you're from, and he says, well, I'm from D.C., and so I go, oh, you must be here with the delegation. There's a bunch of people here, and tells me, yeah, there's a get-together, and he's not an elected official. He's a supporter. Now, I'll explain this. You got to speak politics, right? It's a foreign language for some, but a supporter, you know, he's a lobbyist. That's what he is. And what was going on is that this incredibly, and I know I live a good life, I recognize that, but at this incredibly opulent hotel, you have a bunch of elected officials, Republicans and Democrats. I don't want to pick just on Mr. Chaffetz. But here they are, and they are having this wonderful ski vacation and chumming it up. Now, nowhere in the media is it, right? I actually looked. I wanted to see. I Googled up and down. Nowhere. So I'm probably the only person talking about this. But these are not unusual occurrences. And the way it happens is that these people that are there, these supporters, pay for the trips for the congressman, right? But they can't pay it directly, so they use a PAC or a super PAC. They give the money to the PAC, and the PAC picks up the incidentals. I like that makes it any better. And I thought about it a little bit. You know, I think about everything. You know, I talk to a few more people, and it just struck me. This is what I find so despicably dirty about our political system, as probably any political system. Now, I don't want to sound naive. I understand how the world works. I understand that you pay to influence people. But, I mean, think about it. What kind of access do you gain when you're basically being some congressman's ski bunny for the weekend? I mean, it's you and I don't have that kind of access. And I think it started to make me think, because of course I'm there with my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, and you know, my son, of course, you know, God bless Daniel. He brings up, he knows how to get under their skin. 9 years old and he's already a punk. So he immediately brings up, you know, Trump and how much he loves Trump. My sister-in-law says, you can't possibly like the guy. Sam, you're an intelligent person. She's so nice. You're an intelligent person. And I said, oh, I love him. And then it struck me, you know, I love him because I am absolutely ecstatic that Washington has this disruptive force dropped on it. And it's to me, Trump at 70 years old, having achieved what he's achieved, he's not the guy going to these junkets to try to, you know, live large and enjoy. He is, for better or for worse, the best chance we have at breaking up this crazy oligarchy, right? That's the oligarchy of influence. No, we love the Russian term, so we gotta, you know, stay hip. All right, we're back right after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, 790
KABC.
All right, all you West LA people, listen up, listen up. I know that probably one of your favorite pastimes is to go to your spin class. What's the most famous one? Is it SoulCycle? I think it is. All right, Sam Rogowski here. I will tell you about the time I went to SoulCycle. I went once. I was dragged there by my HR operations manager from the office. And I remember at the end of the ride, which basically felt like, you know, the baton death march, I couldn't even get my damn feet out of the little stirrups or whatever those things are, you know, little pedals, because they're clipped in. You know what I'm talking about. I clipped in and I had to basically slip out of my shoes and leave the shoes in the bike. And I ran away in my socks. Well, this apparently is not, I am not alone in this, because there's some lady named Donna Wood, and she was in California visiting from New York, a brief visit, and she went to the Wilshire Boulevard SoulCycle for an 8:30 a.m. spin class. And after she tried to, the workout ended, she tried to get off the bike and apparently caught her right leg and was left dangling off the bike. And the music was so loud they couldn't even hear her. She got pretty badly hurt. So I just want to, look, I want to say this. Donna, you need a good lawyer. Because I feel your pain. I know what the SoulCycle thing's all about. It's pure torture. So you got it. What do you got to do? Who is it? Who do we call? We have one lawyer here on the program that we trust. And we trust him because we know that he will take the fight to the man for you. He will make sure that your rights are protected. His name is James Bergner. We call him Sweet James. And Donna, he's the lawyer that will take care of you and make sure that you are set straight and that SoulCycle take care of you. For any of your personal injury needs, any accident, injury, anything that happens to you, please call Sweet James, my friend. How do you do that? Easy. Phone number, 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right. Let's grab, we're talking, I want to get back here a little bit. I'll tell you this, I got some good clips here of the media skewering Chaffetz. The clips are with Chaffetz here, but skewering various Republicans. You know, there was that one embarrassing clip where one of Trump's spokespeople was just caught, you know, stammering. But here, I think, was a very good exchange with a Congressman Chaffetz on CBS this morning. And Gayle King asks him, because this is the question, this is part of the narrative, right? She asks him, when you heard the president tweeted this out, talking about the tapping, I'm curious about your initial reaction, because he was on such a high from that speech on Tuesday, even his critics had to grudgingly say he did a good job. Remember we talked about that? And now no one seems, this is Gayle King again talking, no one seems to be talking about that. Is this a self-inflicted wound? And what did you think when you first heard about it? And here's Chaffetz's answer.
It's a very serious allegation. The president has at his fingertips tens of billions of dollars in an intelligence apparatus. I got to believe, I think he might have something there, but if not, we're going to find out.
Yeah, we're going to find out. And you know what he should have said, too, is, by the way, yeah, he had a great speech on Tuesday. And the reason that we're not talking about it now is because you stupid liberal Democrats were too busy talking about this nonsensical Russian hacking story. Just wouldn't let it go. So then the next question from Norah O'Donnell on the same program. Now, do you think it's responsible to continue the speculation? I mean, the reason I ask, I mean, the former DNI director Clapper said it's false. It just didn't happen. Remember, I played the clip for you of Clapper earlier. All right. So and here's Chaffetz's great response. I agree with him totally.
Well, Mr. Clapper doesn't come with the best reputation for facts as well. I mean, his testifying before Senator Wyden is highly questionable. So we're going to go in and look at the facts, and we'll get there. It's not going to happen, you know, by Wednesday. It's going to take us some time to unravel this, but we will get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. And you know what? By the way, you got to understand, Chaffetz is not a big Trump guy. So this is a pretty measured response. It's going to go somewhere. So I'm trying to get to you. This is the most important thing to understand. It's not going to just be laughed off. It's not going to just disappear. They're going to investigate this. All right, we're back right after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, 790
KABC.
All right. We're back. Remember when I told you that Andrew McCarthy story, the piece in National Review, and I was explaining to you how National Review, really no fan of Trump, might be a conservative magazine, but they were anti-Trumpists all the way. But in the piece, he asked the question, now, so how did the government obtain all this information that has been leaked to the media to support its story on Russia hacking the election, quote unquote, right? And his answer to that is that it's plausibly there's only one, really. And that's that the Obama administration with the DOJ, right, and the FBI was investigating the associates of the opposition party's presidential nominee, right, Trump, and perhaps even the nominee himself during the campaign. Otherwise, what explanation can there be there for all the investigative information, a lot of it classified, like I told you, right, that has been funneled to the press? And so back to this is when you're talking to people about the story, you've got to look your liberal friend in the eye, maybe your wife, I don't know, girlfriend, I don't know, maybe you got, there are a lot of libs out there. You got to look them in the eye and say, look, explain this to me. How come last week we were hearing about all these sources that were confirming all this intelligence out there, all this, you know, intercepted information? And we were reading it in Politico and the Washington Post and in the New York Times that all supported the fact that Trump and or his people colluded with the Russians to steal the election. How come that was the story, what, a week ago? Not even? And today, you're telling me, remember, you're talking to your liberal friend, right? Or your significant other, whomever. You're going, and now you're telling me that, oh, no phone line in Trump Tower was hacked. Huh? I mean, can I please remind you that Trump Tower is where Trump's campaign was headquartered? For the entirety of its existence, from the moment Trump launched his campaign, he rode down that golden escalator. Remember, press loves to talk about that. I run it through a logic test, but the press thinks you are so stupid. It is unbelievable. They think that we're dumb. They think that we are 10-second Tom, that we don't remember things from one day to the next. And this is, by the way, the same media. You know, Obama spied on them so many times. You know, hacked a Fox News or James Rosen, right? He had a wiretap on his phone after some government officials were anonymously leaking information to journalists. And then the New Yorker, 13 member reported, the New Yorker, a liberal magazine, reported that 13 members of the AP were also targets of surveillance. And then a CBS, right, this is all liberal media, Cheryl Atkinson, had her laptop hacked. The most mystifying thing to me is all these reporters got hacked by Obama, and there's some more. They're just like, and now they're defending Obama. And they're saying, oh, there's no way he hacked Trump. Oh, he hacked us, but there's no way he hacked Trump. This is the media for you, you know? I mean, zero credibility. We're going to be back tomorrow, 7 p.m. Can't wait. And we got John Wolfe up with the news next. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Can't stop, addicted to the shindig. Chop, chop, he says I'm going to win big. Choose not the life of imitation. Just get close into the reservation. Talk Radio 790 KABC.